explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groanings deep within. It must be God here in my soul, because I feel the pull. I feel the pull, and I hear the call, and I know His Spirit's moving me just to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, He was drawing me to give a higher praise. There's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach the goal, because I feel the pull. I feel the pull. Amen. And I hear the call, and I know His Spirit's moving me just to give my all, my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull, oh Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I'd like to sing a song as Brother Tommy comes in. It's Independence Day. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. He's going to come and bring the good word of God. I heard of how Christians long ago, and if you could turn Brother Tommy's mic on, he's going to turn it on also, so he can help me out here, because I'm not familiar exactly with this song, but I love it. We'll just sing it together. Amen.
I've heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that He would spare their lives if they renounced the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will sing to honor Him. Allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one let us live our lives for the one
who died to give us life till the trumpet sounds on that rock. Till day, let us proudly stand and all pledge your allegiance to him today. Allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Everybody said, praise the Lord. You know, out across the land today, it's going to be all patriotic. They're going to be all pledging and remembering and thinking and looking back. We got to go way beyond some hundreds of years ago when they signed that Declaration of Independence. Because there was a new Declaration of Independence signed in the end time. When those seven seals came open, there was a Declaration of Independence that said, through this word, I am going to claim my bride again. And let's sing that first verse again. Identify with our past. That's all good to remember those who gave their lives. But we're living here in the end time giving our lives. It ain't the same as it was back then. We're not under the age of the ox where we have to stand there and decide. But we do have to decide. Do we give our lives today? Let's sing this verse again. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear them. Oh, everybody together now sing it. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Oh Lord, you're worthy today. Our allegiance is only to you. Only you, Lord, only you. Our allegiance is to you. It's to this word that has bought us, redeemed us, saved us, and filled us. Our allegiance is to this word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this gathering this morning. As we're about to open the Word in a few minutes, we pray that it'll bless the hearts and lives of the people. Brother Branham said, no matter how well prepared a man could be when he comes to this desk, it's not in the preparation. It's not in the premeditation. It's not in the great efforts. Although we do prepare, although we do lay before you and try to find something that might help the people to make their journey a little bit better, to make them more comfortable in this life. If that's all this sermon will do this morning, that's enough. Because we need that from you, Lord, to help as we go. Bless us together as we look into the Word, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Let's read our scriptures while you're standing if we can. Thank you. That was a wonderful song service this morning. We enjoyed it there in the back. If we'll be reading, if we can, in Mark chapter 7 today. It is certainly a privilege to be here with you. As Brother Jeff said, we go so far back that I can remember it better than he can. I don't know why that is. Maybe I had the most fun. I don't know how that works, but I remember back in 1975 or 6 or 7 was probably our first meeting. And then in 1978, him and Brother Lonnie made the mistake of saying, well, if you get out to Tucson, why don't you stay with us? That was nice, but they didn't know it was going to last 3 or 4 months, I'm sure, when he said that. And so I landed there in 1978, and I don't know, I thought they were going to have to burn the couch down in the living room to get me to leave, you know, because I just stayed and stayed and stayed and I stayed. And And I could hear them talking about it in the wee hours of the morning, and I stayed, and I stayed, and I stayed. And they were a very gracious host. Where is Brother Lonnie Sid? Where is he this morning? You know, I've said this many times as I went around. Back in 78, I hadn't began my ministry yet, but he taught me something. He is a great teacher. He taught me how to tie a necktie. I don't know if he remembers this, but when you went into their home, on the left, he had his bedroom, and it was like, I don't remember, a little hall, but there was a big mirror right there. And I was just a country boy from Tennessee. The only kind of ties that I could get were the clip-on kind, you know, because I didn't know how to do that. It was too fancy for us country boys out of the cotton patch. So we stood in front of that mirror. I probably bruised a few knuckles getting it down, but for all these years, I've been tying my tie thousands of times, thanks to our brother Lonnie right there. How did I do? You got to ask the teacher, is it okay this morning? Did I do well? I thank you for that. I have testified many times that I know he is a great teacher, because from 1978 till now, every time I get in the mirror and I tie my tie, I have to think of Brother Lonnie and the effort that he gave to do that. And I thank him for that. But you know, it's been so many years since Jeff and I, we missed years of fellowship. I moved out to Western Canada. Our paths took us different ways. It's hard to grasp how many years that is. You know, I finally had to simplify it in my mind. I don't even count it being 30 years or 32 years. I just count it in chins. That was like a couple of chins ago that he and I were together. So, you know, it's been a long time when you can count the journey and how many more chins you have now than you did back in those old days. He stayed in good shape. I don't know how he did that, but it's good to be with you. I just want to greet you. Trust the Lord will help us today. Let's read our scripture. I know you've been standing. Verse 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house, and he would have no man know it. I love these next words, but he could not be hid. That's a sermon in itself right there, but that's not our text for today. But all morning and all for the days leading up to this, I couldn't hardly get past that one, so we'll save it for another day. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, and this is our text, for this saying. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And she went, when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. For this saying. The Lord bless you this morning. You may be seated. We've already prayed and asked his help today, and I trust he'll do that. But again, just as down at the camp we met so many people that we had lost contact with over the years, and it always does our heart good to be able to renew with old friends, renew the acquaintance, meet new ones. There were so many people there where you kind of get lost in the maze of humanity, but it was just a wonderful time. Brother Jeff did a wonderful job yesterday instructing those young people of how their walk has to come on home with them now that they're leaving the camp. You know, as he said, there's one thing to be in that environment and to enjoy the presence of God, the presence of your friends, but then when you get home, you got to let the rubber meet the road then. And so we trust that the Lord will bless each one of you that was up there. You know, just a little side note. I was reading not long ago a commentary. And when you get into the Word, it is a living Word. Let me just say that. Our church down home, it's called the Living Word. But it's not just a nomenclature. It's not just a phrase. It is a living Word. This word is more alive today, or as alive as it's ever been. It can't be more alive. It can be more real to you, but it's just as alive as it ever was. It was alive from the foundation of the world, this word was. And it has continued to live and breathe life through all those generations and ages right up till now. And it hasn't run out. You haven't exhausted it yet. Because when you still open it up, the life of that word still comes off of the page. Just as it did the first person that ever read it in our text that we have now, when King James finally got it done. And King James commissioned and got it put in paragraphs and a way that us Gentiles could understand it. When he finally got that commissioned and completed, the first guy that read it, the first man that he handed it to and he read it, and the life came off of that page and became a part of him, it's that very same life that you receive now and all of the millions between then and now that have read it. Oh, don't you see, brothers and sisters? Sometimes we think God is going to get tired or he's going to get weary. But it was an eternal life. Don't you see? Eternal life, it had no beginning and it will have no end. I appreciate that about the word itself. But we're going to deal this morning. I got to stop and can we be a little patriotic? Is it okay? This ain't my message either, but I had to read this. It's 4th of July. I mean, come on. If we went home and didn't have something patriotic, y'all would be saying, man, that church ain't even patriotic. So I'm going to take care of that. Is that okay? Can I read you something patriotic? Out of the rejected king. Now, the Holy Spirit used to be the leader in this nation. This nation used to be governed when they wrote up the Declaration of Independence, and there was an extra chair sitting there. There's not one speck of doubt in my mind but what the Son of God sat at that table when this nation was founded upon the principles of freedom and religion. And freedom to all and upon the basis of God's eternal word. But we've corrupted that. Politics, we voted in man under their buying and selling and promises of falsehood. Now this was 1960. Does that kind of ring a bell here in 2010? We voted in man under those, and I'm not a politician. I don't want you to get nervous. I don't care this morning if you're Republican or Democrat. I only care if you're a Christian. I ain't going to get all worried about if the Democrats was in, if the Republicans were in. Let the Tea Party, what are the Tea Party going to do? They're going to get in there and drink tea. I mean, what would you do at a Tea Party? You'd have tea, wouldn't you? Oh, well, I believe the Tea Party is the one that's going to save the nation. You know what? I hate to break it to you, but no party is going to save the nation. I'll finish the quote in a minute. The nation is not going to get saved. God's elected people are going to get saved out of the nation. Don't get all political on us down here in the end time. I remember when Obama, wow, the Obama mania. So we put a man in there, and right in the midst of his name is the word bomb. He's going to save America. Obama the Savior. Brother Branham said everybody's looking for a Messiah. And so Obama came along. I found him in the scripture. I know you've heard it before. But he is over there, the abomination that maketh the desolation. He is there. Right there, woven into the fabric of the word. You can go on and say, that's the worst misquote of the scripture I've ever heard. That's okay. I agree with you. It is. But it's true. He was not the savior of the nation. It's going down. Printing trillions of dollars of paper money. I know that sounds political, but that's not saving the nation. But Brother Branham told us what happened. We've corrupted the original, what they did when they signed that Declaration of Independence. We've corrupted that. Politics, voted man in there under buying and selling and promises of falsehood until our nation and our politics and our democracy is so polluted it's interwoven with communism and all kinds of isms. Many times we call sessions of prayer when the leagues of nations meet in there to have discussions. One certain time, great time recently, there was not even one time they called for prayer. How are we ever going to settle differences without prayer? You say, oh, Brother Branham's talking about the United Nations. He's talking about our church. He's talking about me. How are we going to settle our differences without prayer? Oh, we're going to meet together and work it out. I'll tell you who's going to work it out. Him, or it won't get worked out. That's exactly right. How are we going to settle them? How can we ever expect in all the world to ever do anything without the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Sounds like Brother Branham is being hard, don't it? But he gets all patriotic now. But let me say this with love and respects to our nation and to its flag and to the republic for which it stands. The trouble is we have rejected our leader, the Holy Spirit, and through corrupt politics, we've brought in men of perverse mind. If you don't watch, they're going to make one of the worst fatal mistakes that's ever been made right now. This is 1960. John F. Kennedy's on his way in. They're going to make a mistake right now. It's because the people are desiring a man to rule. You want to know how to fix the nation? Here's what Brother Ram says we need. What we need in the capital of this United States is a president. What we need in Congress, what we need in our halls of justice is men who have consecrated their lives to God and are filled with the Holy Ghost and are led by this divine direction. But instead of that, we choose men of intellectual, men who have forms of godliness and deny the power of God, men who are atheists, and sometimes even worse than that, we brought into our political realms of our nation. And then he stops and he says, not only that, but in our churches. Oh, yeah. He wasn't just beating on the nation. He was beating on modern religion. Our churches have become corrupt upon the basis that in choosing our shepherds to lead us, we've gone to the seminaries and we've selected men that's great intellectual giants and men who are brilliant in their mind, men who have scholarships and are great mixers among the people. They're great men in the neighborhood, which I have nothing to say against that. Men who are kind in their ways of walk and careful in their ways of life, how they conduct themselves among other men and among people, great men in their fields. I don't speak evil of that, but God forbid that my spirit would ever be that evil. It wasn't what God chose for us. It's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But the churches did exactly what politics did. They voted in. They put men up there. That's the end of my political rally for today. I want you to know this morning, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Don't think that Brother Branham was feeling like America was going to turn. They're going to stand up and sing those God Bless America and God Bless America Again, and all those patriotic themes will be sung out across the land today. But remember what he told us down in Birth Pains. If you put a George Washington or an Abraham Lincoln in every county in the United States, it couldn't come back. Don't be rallying behind the tea drinkers, thinking that you're going to get a Tea Party man in there that's going to make a difference. Don't be rallying behind the next Democrat or Republican. The only one that can help you through and out of this world is the Holy Spirit. There is no hope. In every county, he broke it down pretty simple, didn't he? Put them in every county. Start at the county government and put a man like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. He couldn't turn it around. That's our nation. I'm not angry at our nation. I love our nation. Brother Branham loved our nation. I love those little narratives he got into at times. He would drop back into a little almost melancholy roll or note in his voice there. I was there when George Washington crossed that Potomac. And I was there. I was there. I was there. I was there. Why was he there? Because he was identified. Amen. He was identified. We can't help it that he thought the national anthem was my old Kentucky home, can we? All right. I'll leave that alone. But 4th of July. 4th of July. Here we are. I look back to see the last time that I preached here in Lima. Some of you weren't even born, or most of you probably weren't even born. It was back in 1982, in December of 1982. I'd been fellowshipping with Brother Jeff some in the other building there, and I preached a watch night service one year. Back in 1981, Brother Lance LaRue and Brother Barry Bonamore was over from South Africa. Was anybody here that remembers being there? Watch night service, 1981. I know Brother Jeff was there. Raise him up high. All right, what did I preach? I want to know. See? You weren't listening. It's only been 20-something years. I can't believe you've forgotten. I remember because I wrote it down. The Lord bless you today. It's good to have our fellowship, Brother Jeff and I. Again, our fellowship has been wonderful this week. We've had some good discussions in the Word. That's what I love about being with the other ministering brothers, is you begin to feed off of that, and it's just a great thing. But let me remind you of something. I don't know if you're a student of any age gone by, Bingle. I know many of you must have read Bingle's commentaries before, but he made a statement one time, And I want to drop this in before we launch right into our sermon. And he made this, and it rang very true as I looked through the scripture. And that is that Jesus only marveled. The scriptures record that Jesus only marveled at two things. Would you like to see what those two are? Go to Luke chapter 7, if you will. Luke, the 7th chapter. I'd like you to see these two because it'll give you something to think about in the days ahead. Again, there's whole sermons could be preached on either one of these. But because of time and because of restraint, it's already going on 12 o'clock. I know you have communion today, and so we don't want to be long, and I promise to not be. But in Luke chapter 7, there at the first verse, as Jesus began to speak to the centurion, you know the story very well. Down in verse 9, after the centurion had said, "No, you don't need to come. I'm a man under authority," in verse 8, "I've got soldiers. I tell one to go and he goes, and one to come and he comes, and to my servant do this and he do it." And in verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He marveled at him and turned and said unto you, "I have found so great faith. I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." That's one of the things that Jesus marveled at. If you'll go to Mark chapter 6, you will find the second thing, and this was pointed out very well in Bingle's commentary. If you ever have time to go back and read his notes there, a wonderful little discourse. But in Mark chapter 6, again, as he was among, he went out from thence, verse 1, came to his own countries. His disciples followed him. He began to teach. As he began to teach, verse 3, they said, "Isn't this the carpenter, Mary, the brother of James?" They were hung up on the genealogy. But Jesus said, "A prophet's not without honor in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house." He couldn't do a mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and he healed them. And in verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. There's only two elements at which Jesus marveled. One of them was faith, and the other was unbelief. When faith is present, you know, in a way, I know, and we'll get to a couple of more verses here in a minute, in our own selves, we marvel at so many different things. But one of the greatest marvels that you'll find attacking you sometimes is you, when God is showing you the Word and you're looking at it and it's alive and it's vibrant, and the faith to believe that Word is coming forth, you know what you're marveled about? Why can't everybody see that? I can't believe that I just can't believe you don't see that, because the faith in that Word is so real and alive to me. And the other time you're going to marvel is at the same time when that Word is alive and well, you're going to marvel at their unbelief. You know, we marvel at a lot of things. I'm not going to have you turn to all of these, but I jotted down quickly today a list of throughout the scriptures other time that men were marveled at so many different things. If you want to look these up later, you'll find them all there. In Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus had rebuked the wind before them, and the scripture says, Matthew 8:26, men marveled and said, "What manner of man is this?" In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8, when the man was sick of the palsy and he took to him and said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The scripture says that the multitudes marveled. Matthew 9:33, the devil was cast out, and the scripture records that the multitudes marveled. Matthew 21:20, when he spoke to the fig tree and the fig tree was withered, the scripture tells us that the disciples marveled. Matthew 22, when he gave them the lesson about money, the presence of the value of money, the scriptures again record that they marveled. In Matthew 27, when he stood before Pilate and he was silent, he opened not his mouth, the scriptures record and tell us that the governor marveled. The governor marveled. In Luke chapter 2, when Simeon came and declared, you know the narrative very well, how Brother Branham said blind Anna went down that row and held him in her arms, and immediately coming behind him was Simeon, coming behind her, and made that declaration. The scripture tells us that Joseph and his own mother marveled. Isn't that something? Mother, his own mother that had one of the greatest declarations of faith that had ever been uttered in this world, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And yet when Simeon comes and is the amen of her belief, the amen of her testimony and declares him to be the light that lighteneth the hope of the world, it says that Joseph and Mary marveled. In Luke 11, when they were eating without washing their hands, the scriptures record that the Pharisees marveled. In John chapter 4, when he was speaking to them, his disciples marveled. Speaking to the woman at the well, you know what happened? His disciples marveled that he talked to the woman at the well. You know why he talked to the woman at the well? Because he was tired of talking to those Pharisees that had no seed in there to catch what he was telling them. I would be tired of that too if I preached and preached and preached and nobody wanted to receive it. Nobody had the ability. You know, those Pharisees did not have the ability to believe what he said. And he found that woman at the well and he looked for somebody. I was talking yesterday down at the camp. He told that woman at the well, said, "I've got water to give you that you know not of." She said, "Wait a minute, you don't even have a bucket." That was her testimony. "Sir, thou hast no bucket to draw with. How are you going to give me this water?" But he said, "Oh, I've got a water that you know nothing about. I've got a water that once you're quenched, you'll stay quenched. You'll never thirst again." That's why I appreciated what our brother said in his testimony to the young people yesterday. We didn't come and find this revival, find this life in our hearts to go away and find ourselves back in the same thirsty condition that we came in. Because once it's quenched, it will be there to quench those desires over and over again. In John chapter 7, when he was teaching in the temple, the scriptures tell us that the Jews marveled. But there was only two things he marveled at. One of them was faith, and the other one was unbelief. Think on that and take that home with you. We're going to speak this morning, if we can, about back in our text, if you'll find it there again in Mark chapter 7. I'm just such a furnace up here. Is it okay if I take my coat off? I've watched some of your videos and I always wondered why I see Brother Jeff doing this all the time. But now I understand. It's those heat lamps up there. I don't know. Y'all like to put the heat on the preacher, I think, man. You say those are lights. Those are heat lamps. That's what that is. I'm just going to throw this over here. Is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway if it's not okay. So you just... I know what Brother... I'm not having that guy back. He went and throwed his coat over there. He didn't... But in our text, for this saying, you know, Brother Branham, you know many things that he told us. It's always nice for us to just quickly rehearse them to catch you up and remind you of the things that he said about this encounter. You know, one thing about the Syrophoenician woman, she was a Greek. She was a Greek. It was one of the most amazing things that she ever sought him out in the first place. You know what Brother Branham said about the Greeks? Paul ran into him over there on Mars Hill, this same sect that this woman was from. He went down there to Mars Hill. You know, in Athens, where the Greeks originated and where they had their headquarters there, on Mars Hill, you read accounts of the environment that Paul found himself in. In Athens, they had over 3,000 gods that they worshipped as deities. 3,000 different gods in Athens. One of the historians that wrote about Mars Hill, he said that you were more likely, it was a guy named Petronius, he said, "Our religion is so full of deities that you may more frequently meet with a god than a man. As you're walking down the street and speak to your neighbor, you got to double check it out. Is that a god or a man?" Because there was 3,000 deities. And Paul went through that town looking for a place to preach. And you know where he could only find one? One god that they didn't even know his name. He had to go to the temple of the unknown. There was only one place he could hold a meeting. And this was the environment that the Greeks live in. You know how Brother Branham used that expression so many times? The Jews seek a sign, the Greeks want what? Wisdom. The Greeks were looking for wisdom. And so the very fact that when she heard of Jesus, that she even came is in itself a great and wonderful testimony. A great and wonderful testimony that is repeating itself here again in our day. Is what did you hear about our church that made you want to come? I don't know. I just wanted to come. Very much like it was on the shores of Galilee when Jesus was gathering his first band of disciples. He would go over walking down the sea and he just says, "Follow me." The scripture says they dropped their nets and they followed him. You know, I've always said Simon and Peter's father would have been the most gracious man in the land because he lost half of his workforce. Come on, we get so worried about the economy. Here's Andrew and Simon are out there mending their nets. Jesus walks by and says, "Follow me." Probably wasn't even the end of their shift. Come on. The work day wasn't over. They're out there fishing. They're mending their nets. And Peter and Andrew and Simon's father, they just go. He probably started filling out the pink slip as soon as he seen them wandering off. He was the most gracious man in the land because Jesus raided his place of employment. Come on. Follow me. That's all it took. And this is the way it is today. Jesus just... We wonder sometimes, we do marvel, what drew you here? What keeps you here? What keeps you here? I was visiting with a brother there at breakfast this morning, and I said, the scripture just came back to me, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's all I want. I want to follow him wherever that would lead me. But it's an amazing thing that she would even seek him out. Undoubtedly she had many other choices that she could go to. Choices that she could go to, other gods that she could approach. But the scripture says there in verses 25, but she heard of him. That's why you came. Something drew you here. You heard of him. You've probably heard a lot of other things screaming your name also, but you know what? When you hear him, you can't help but follow. I found that so many years ago myself. I heard him call my name. I heard him call my name. I was laying there dead like Lazarus was. I was laying there dead in my own human condition, as dead as Lazarus was. I probably stunk nearly as bad. But I heard him call my name, "Come forth." And I came forth out of dead, dark denominationalism into the life of this word. Oh, it's a miracle just as big today as it was when Lazarus come floating out of there in grave clothes. Yes, sir. That's why in the end time, if you're here, it is because God called your name. He didn't just say, "Bride, come forth," or "Church, come forth," else the whole church would have come. That's what Brother Branham said about Lazarus. If he had just said, "Come forth," every dead saint that had died in him would have come forth from the grave. But he didn't want them all right then. That's for another day. There is coming a day when the graves will open and they'll hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Because why? He'll call them everyone individually by name. Amen. You didn't just get here this morning because of some happen chance in life. You're here because God called you. Your name. Whether it's Jim, Jeff, Joe, John, Tom, Bob, Billy. Sally, I got to get the women in there. Mary, Helen. I don't know who you are. I don't see very many of you that I know your names. But whatever it is, you heard your name. Amen. And that's the only thing that drew you. When that net was gathered, there was all kind of fish in there, but there was some real fish too. That's why I get so tired of everybody that's so negative about this message. So negative about the net that went out. Because of the crawdads and the tadpoles and in the vision there when Brother Branham said they were separating them out. But you know, I read beyond that. I see that there was also a few good fish in there as well. I don't walk into a pulpit anywhere I go with the bad attitude that nobody else can make it. Nobody can come in. No, there's just so many crawdads and tadpoles in your church. I just can't go there. I believe there's some good fish in every net. The true net of the gospel that goes forth. The fact she came to him, the fact she even came, and she said, "Lord, that is correct." Listen to what Brother Branham said. Jesus disgraced her. Oh yeah, this wouldn't work in Laodicea, would it? You know, this wouldn't hardly fly in the face of modern politically correctness, would it? He disgraced her. He said, "I'm not sent to you. You're dogs in your generation. Your races are nothing but dogs. I'm not even sent to you." And she said, oh, here's the truth of your doctrine. the truth of your life today. She said, it's truth, Lord. Oh, my. There's the word. Stay with the word. Faith will always recognize the word. He disgraced her and said, it's not for you. And she said, that ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. Faith will always recognize the word. And may I add, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts, it will always recognize the word. As she said, the dogs eat the crumbs under the master's table. And that got him, Brother Branham said. That got him. What got him? The fact that she would recognize the word is true. The word is right, even if it hurts. The word is true, even if it cuts me to the bone. The word is true. That is true. He turned and he said, for this saying, O woman, great is your faith. And for this saying, the devil has left your daughter. What? She got what? She approached God's gift in the right way. You've got to approach. That was the first Gentile miracle that had ever been performed by the Son of David. Remember, the first miracle performed to a Gentile was the healing of this woman's daughter. That's right. She had the right approach to God's gift. What a lesson. The right approach to God's gift. Remember, Brother Branham said in another place, she had never even seen a miracle. Listen to that. She had never seen a miracle. She had never seen any of things. But there was faith in there that believed that was the thing she needed for her daughter. The trouble with people today. How many would like to know what's wrong with people today? Here it is. I'd like to just break down what Brother Branham says. The trouble with people today is we're not dead earnest about these things. We cope our words. We're afraid to say something that's unethical. I hate Laodicea. I hate politically correctness. Politically correct. That's the big mantra of today. And you got to be politically correct. You can't stand up and say that homosexuality is wrong and out of the pits of hell. Because that's not politically correct, is it? I was walking in New York City some years ago. I took a little vacation up there, right down on Central Park. My wife and I were headed down there Sunday morning. I don't usually visit denominational churches, but I thought, well, man, there's a big old Baptist, nice-looking place right there in the wall. I'm going to go. So we roll in there. Looked like everybody else had come from Central Park that morning as well. But we got in there, and that was the very morning that Dennis Rodman or something had disparaged on the gays. So here I go into a Baptist church, fine building, oak everywhere around me, big old water baptism tank, oak, the finest of oak materials, a gorgeous place to worship. And all they talked about this all morning was how wrong Dennis Rodman was to beat up on the gays. And I thought, oh God, that's why politically correctness, when it takes over for the word of God, we're all in trouble. Sin still has to be called out as sin. The devil still has to be identified as the devil. The works of the enemy in your life still have to be identified, even if it hurts. But if you are like this Greek woman, you'll say that ain't nothing but the truth. Help me, Lord. I've still got a daughter that needs healing. I've still got this need in my life that needs fixing. That ain't nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. She had never seen a miracle. But all we cope our words, Brother Branham says. We're afraid to say something that's unethical. But God promised to fill your mouth and turn yourself. Don't take no thought. Oh, we get so ethical with it. If I say something, my denomination won't believe it. They'll be kicked out. You know what Brother Branham called that when they kick you out for that? Premeditated murder. There's a penalty to that, you know. When they kick you out for not being politically correct and for telling the truth, there's a penalty for that. She had the right approach to God's gift. Faith admits the word is truth. Faith admits the word is truth. For this saying. You know, the book of Malachi tells us, Brother Branham never commented much on this scripture. I wished he had because it's gripped my heart for many years. Malachi, the third chapter. What does it tell us that they that feared the Lord did what? What did they do? They spake often one to another. They spake. Let's read it quickly. Run quickly to Malachi chapter 3. It appears from all indications that this is looking at our end time days. It's worth reading. It gripped my heart so many years ago. And I thought, Lord, if there's going to be a number, if there's going to be a group that fears you and lives for you and serves you in the end time, let me be part of them. And let me do as this group will do. Verse 16, Malachi chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord hid away in their closets and never had anything to say. They that feared the Lord hid their testimony under a bushel and never dared to declare it. But they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Amen. A testimony follows this life, my dear brothers and sisters. A testimony follows this word. I'm not saying y'all got to be orators and y'all got to be giant testifiers. Back in Pentecost, I came up out of Pentecost before at a very young age coming into this message. But even as Pentecost and this message blended together, we had great testifiers. They were professionals. You remember, you ever see a professional testifier? We had them. I'd watch them old sisters get up there and you could tell when it was coming. They'd get all teary-eyed. Oh, I just want to go home so bad. I want to see Jesus so bad. I just don't know how to tell y'all how bad I want to go home. Well, then that same sister a few weeks later would come down really sick. And you know what would be laying on the pulpit? A prayer request that she would get well. And I thought, wait a minute, something ain't matching up here. Just a few weeks ago, she was wanting to go home really bad. And now that she's heading that way, she wants to turn around and come back to the land of the living. I want to go home too. I just don't want to go that way. I've got a promise that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord won't prevent those who have gone to sleep, but we will be changed in the moment in a twinkling of an eye. I'll testify to you this morning, I do want to go home real bad. But I want to go home in a chariot of fire just like Elijah did. I want to go home. I'm not wanting to leave my family behind. It sounded good, but it wasn't quite right, was it? None of us want to go that way. Because why? We've got a promise. We've got a promise that in our day, death is going to be cheated in our day. We don't have to go that way. But if God does choose us, I feel like Paul does. If this is the last breath I ever breathe, and y'all have to pack me back down there to Florida in a wooden box, I just want you to remember, my testimony is just like Paul's. Whether present or absent, I just want to be accepted of Him. Lord, if I should fall asleep in this watch, let me raise up with the same anticipation that I went down in. Because I will be coming forth at that resurrection season. That's my testimony. But oh, back to our verse there. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. And the Lord hearkened, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Who will be His? Those that feared the Lord and spake often one to another. They'll be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. I don't want you to think the Lord's... Sometimes we get it in our mind, the Lord ain't listening. He is listening, my dear brothers and sisters. He is listening. As He listened to this Greek woman in Mark chapter 7. That's the truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. But the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. It hurt. He disgraced her. The word cut as deep as you could cut a Greek in those days. And yet she said, that ain't nothing but the truth. And He said, for this saying. Amen. You know, sometimes we get all worried, as I was talking about those professional testifiers, we get all worried that we got to have some big dialogue, us preachers especially worried about. We want it to be understandable when we talk to you, certainly. I mean, the worst thing you and I know if y'all been in church very long, you've had them. We used to call them gum bumpers down in the South. They just get up there and rattle on about most anything, you know. They'll get into Aunt Sally's dog and that becomes church to them. We're not interested in gum bumping. You don't want no just a gum bumper going to get up there and just talk about any old thing. You want something that comes from the Word of God. We want our testimony about this word to be in a form and in a way, in a mode that when we stand up here and God anoints it, that it'll come into your life and in your heart. And you can take it home. I'm not always really worried about this particular meeting being so anointed. I want the word to be anointed. Because this meeting is going to end in a few minutes. And no matter how anointed the meeting is, you'll go away and you'll face the same challenges of life that you've always had. It'll be back there again. But if the word is anointed, when you got your head on the pillow late at night and you can't sleep, that word, that anointing of that word is going to come back down again. And it's going to find its way back down there and meet your need then, just the same as it does in church. I get tired of what people view church as here in the end time. They think church is like some kind of a gas station. Let's go down and get filled up today so we can make it through the week. That's not what church is about. Church is for you to bring your testimony, to bring your life, to bring your revelation of the word and have it confirmed by the man in the desk. To have your revelation talked about. It's not to come and get. Come on, you don't come in here and fall down and say, okay, I've paid my dues, here's my chair, give me something. We're not here, it's not a self-serve gas station. It's not some kind of a filler-up spot. But when you come to this church, Brother Rams, what do you get here 30 minutes early? Sit there under the quietness of the word and let God already begin to speak to you before the minister ever gets up there behind the desk. That's what this gospel, that's what church is about. Oh my, if you'll realize that church is not just Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday and Wednesday. I hope you don't go home and wonder on Sunday, honey, where did I lay my Bible on Wednesday when I come in? Come on, church, what's wrong with us? Honey, where's my Bible? Oh man, I left it out on the back shelf of the car, back under the glass there. And you go back there and you get it and it's all warped up from the sun. That's good Christianity in the end time, isn't it? Honey, where's my Bible? I hope you know where it is all the time. I hope you know where it is at all times. I hope you keep it near and dear to you. I hope it ain't something that you just use on Wednesday and Sunday when you come to church. I hope every day of your life you find a way to look into this gospel. A way, a moment of time that you can stop and say, Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for showing that to me today. Today is Monday and we don't have church, but I need church and here it is right here. This is church, my dear brothers and sisters, right here. This is it. I'll say it and I say it everywhere I go. You need to stay in them tapes. You need to stay in them tapes. Those 1,179 tapes, a few more have been found now. We're up to like 1,190 something. They weren't put on magnetic tape just to have some kind of a program at the end to say we got a bunch of tapes. They're to be heard. There's some value to Revelation 10 that says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. Don't be afraid to play a tape. Shame on you if you have got to sit there this morning and think, when was the last time I played a tape? Shame on you. We have more availability of this gospel than we've ever had. Jeff and I remember back when we first started, we didn't have the info base. We didn't have the computer program. So we took all the little individual books and we pretty well memorized them. We could line them up there by year or whatever what system you wanted to use. You could go grab that book and you'd know that that quote was there that you wanted. It's better now. You can type in theophany and you know what? Them computers are smart. Just like that. You know what you can know? You can know everything Brother Branham said about theophany that got recorded. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I didn't know I could do that. Yeah, there's a lot you can do. Well, I just really feel like I need saved. Salvation. You know what you can find out about salvation? Everything Brother Branham ever said about salvation. Right on your computer. Wow, that's pretty impressive. I hope you use that. I use it every day. How can my life be complete? Oh, but we like to use our computers for other stuff. Oh yeah, we like Facebook. Oh man, here goes the evangelist in me now. Facebook! I like Facebook. You know, I hate to break it to you, dear brothers and sisters. I really hate to do this. But all your friends out there on Facebook, they really don't care that you're having green beans for supper. I want you to know that. That seems awful interesting to you. But I can promise you, those folks really don't care. Unless you want them to meet you tomorrow and say, how's them green beans yesterday? Who cares? Facebook, social interacting. And I'm not a legalist. If you've got a Facebook account, just put it on the scales of the balance and say, the word is here and Facebook is there. Let me weigh out where the love of my life is. Do I love my computer because of Facebook, or do I love my computer because of the Word of God? Amen. Oh, but all my friends need to know that I'm putting in my third load of laundry today. They got to know that. Sure they do. Oh man, they really care. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that critical? I mean, let's take a vote. How many thought that sounded critical? I thought it did a little bit, but that's okay. A little criticism helps sometimes. Facebook, social interacting. I see it in our church. People just get so saturated with social interacting. I've got an account. I don't have any friends, but I've got an account. That's why I quit. Throwing my name out there and nobody signed up. Talk about deflation. I hate Facebook. That really sounded, but I'm just going to put it out there. Twitter. I don't know what Twitter is. Some of you are probably Twitterers. You hear it and you're Twitterers. Oh, I got a Twitter. Some of you might be back there Twittering now. Man, that guy's critical up there. You know, you might have done Twittered that to somebody by now. That's what Twitter does. You don't even have to wait to get to your computer to write it in. You can get it there quicker now. Don't you see? Traveling like a thought. They're just trying to use what's coming our way, brothers and sisters. They're just trying to use modern technology to do what the Word of God says we're going to do. And that is travel like a thought. I got to quit because, man, I can just feel the Twittering and the Facebook. Cell phones. A cell phone going off in church. When me and Brother Jeff started preaching back in the 70s, we never had that happen. People didn't do that to us. You know why? Because there wasn't no cell phones yet. The internet. You know, there's a reason they call them computers towers. Towers. Because there was the first tower was way back there in Genesis. And it was a tower of Babel. Oh, now he's against computers. Well, I am, if you use them wrong. I am. Well, that ain't fair. No, it ain't. The politically correct Baptists wouldn't be hollering about that this morning because half of them are out there twittering. They can't wait to rush home and chew on the pastor's leg on their Facebook. You ought to have been there this morning and heard that. I'm glad. I tell you what, we have a Facebook. It's right here. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. There's the real Facebook right there. With an open face beholding as in a glass. Here it is. Here's my Facebook. I want to open the Word and see me in there. And I want to see what God says about me, not what Aunt Sally and Uncle John think about me way up in the far country somewhere. I want to see what God says about me. I want to come face to face with this. Here's your Facebook. Oh, it would make you your parents so proud if you tucked your Bible under your arm and said, Dad, I'm going to my room. I'm going to do some Facebook. You want to see a happy dad or a happy mom? That would make them happy. Dad, I'm going to get a little Facebook time in. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I'm a parent. I got 3 kids. 2 grandkids. I hear the gasp go up. Wow, he don't look that old, you know. No, that's what you're all thinking. Yeah, you can put that on Facebook too. That's all right. Just go on and tell somebody. Guy looked old as molasses, and here he was talking about looking young. I kept a little more hair than my dear brother Jeff did. I just want to say that. I'm going to finish. The message is so big, brothers and sisters. The message is wonderful. I'll give you a thought to think on. Use your computers. Go home and look this up. Breaking the sound barrier. Breaking the sound barrier. Look at what Brother Brandon... Let me read you one thing. Can you stand just a couple of more things and I'm going to quit? I promise. For this saying, we're talking about your testimony, the spoken word. Listen to what Brother Brandon said, looking at the unseen. I was told by aviators who fly these here real fast jet planes And they say that the plane getting up to a certain speed, that it vibrates and it shakes. And it seems like that the bolts is going to fly out of it, that the wings are going to come off until they pass the sound barrier. But after they once pass that sound barrier, they say the plane just sails out just in ease when it passes the sound barrier. Listen to this statement. That's the obstacle that's in the way of the plane, is when it passes its own sound. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I wish I had another hour. I would like to talk about that. When the plane passes its own sound, when all the noise of the plane gets passed up by the plane itself. Brother Branham says, oh, if the church of this day could ever pray till they pass the sin barrier and the unbelief barrier, then they could shout the victory of the living God. When they pass that barrier, by looking to the unseeding, letting the world vibrate. Let the world vibrate and do what it wants to. But when you pass your own sound, there is value in Revelation chapter 8 that when this word opened, what was it? Not a lot of noise. Not a lot of activity. There was what? Revelation 8 and 1. What was it? Silence. Silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. What did that silence mean? What did Brother Branham say? The angels couldn't even say nothing. The 24 elders stopped harping on their harps. Between death and life, he said, it was so real. It was such a time that nobody could say nothing. If they had talked about it, he said the devil would have got a hold of it. And he could have done great damage. But don't you see, it passed its own sound. I believe we are living under the silence of the seventh seal. And I pray this morning that as you've listened, that you pass the sound of my voice. I pray that you've broken the sound barrier of my poor expressions and my poor ways under the foolishness of preaching to talk about this word. And I pray that you've broken that sound barrier. That you've went out so far into this word that you've even passed all the noise. Oh, there's a lot of noise in this world. What did the scripture tell us? Brother Adam used it in the very message of the rapture. There'll be scoffers in the last day. They'll be saying, where is the promise of his coming? When they say unto you, see here or see there, go not. Everybody's got something to say. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, when this word broke, you know what it broke with? Silence. Silence, because now the church was able to fly faster than the speed of sound. And God was able to break that sound barrier. That's what he did with that Syrophoenician woman. He brought her to a place that she broke the sound barrier and she had one expression out of that silence. That ain't nothing but the truth. And Sister Hattie Wright sat there and Brother Branham said, you know, them squirrels, they were just there. They were just there. And you know what? She said, that ain't nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. She broke that. I have got no time to go into that, but just spend some time thinking on that. When the plane passes its own sound, when it goes beyond its own sound, maybe the musicians will come. I got one more quote I want to read. If you'll just come, we'll sing a chorus together. How many remember a lady? I got to thinking this morning about Sister Linda sitting there being in the tabernacle back in those old days. I don't want to say that wrong, Sister Linda. Not real old days, but a few years ago. That was a couple of tens ago for me. How many remember a lady named Mrs. Weber? I'm going to read you something. Mrs. Weber, what Brother Branham calls her. You may have known her, sis. If you'll play, let's sing that song if we can. If y'all will just play this. I looked it up. You have it in your book. Lord, I give you my heart. It's number 993. This is my desire to worship him. But as they play this, let me read you this last quote. We're talking about for this sake. I hope I can read this because it just, the life of it, it just speaks out to me. He said, a lady in my church, Mrs. Weber, do y'all know this song? That's all right, we'll sing it in a minute. With or without music. Let me read it to you. A lady in my church, Mrs. Weber. She was dying with TB. She was in the sanatorium at the last stages. They sent her home to die. They said there was nothing could be done for her. Mrs. Grace Weber.
in Jeffersonville. She lived just beyond the tabernacle, and she had 5 or 6 little children. So the angel of the Lord come to me that night. Oh my, he said, go tell Mrs. Weber, and tell Mr. Weber rather, to get things ready, for he's going to be left with those children on his hands because his wife is going. Oh my, you think the prophet didn't have a challenge on his hand. How would you like that to be a member of your church? Go tell Mr. Weber he's going to have those children on his hands, his wife. Well, I went and told Mr. Weber. I told his little girl, little Jean Rose, which is a nurse now. She was a little bitty fellow then. She's a young lady now. It's been 7 years ago or more. I said, Jeannie, your mother's going to die. She can't live but a little while longer. And 2 days after that, or 3 days, there were some ladies from the government depot down there where she worked. They come in. And Grace, Mrs. Weber, she said, here's Mrs. Weber's testimony. If I could only have Brother Bill to pray for me once more. She said, I seen when my cousin Opal was healed with that cancer, and the doctor had give her up, had give her till morning to live, and her daughter's a nurse also. But she and the girls from out there at the government where she worked, they worked with her, they said, the people that worked with her at the government depot, they said, there ain't nothing to that guy. Said he isn't nothing but a hypocrite. They said, that's all that religion is. It's just a bunch of fake fanaticism. How would you like to be dying and believing in something? And that's what your coworkers are going to say. And so Mrs. Weber said, look, she said, I'm dying. I know that, but I just won't stand still for that. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I can't take that. I may be dying, but I can't take what you just said. She said, I know better than that. I've lived here around this city my whole life. Lived around that man all the time. Talking about Brother Branham. I've seen him from a child growing up. She said, you can call it fake if you want to, but I've seen it. Amen. I've seen it, and I've seen God heal the people. She said, and I know that man's life, and I know that it's the truth. That's a dying woman's testimony, isn't it? I'm dying. I know I'm dying. But don't be telling me that this ain't real because I know it's true. Hallelujah. Oh, this breaks my heart. You can't read this. I'm sorry, I am emotional. But Brother Branham said, and it happened to be the angel of the Lord heard that. Amen. Heard what? Her testimony. I know that man. I know he's lived a good, clean life. Don't be telling me it's a bunch of fanaticism. I've seen it work. I know it's the truth. I may be dying, but I can't take that. Because this is the truth. And if I die, I want to go down telling you it is the truth. I've seen it work. And it happened to be the angel of the Lord heard that. And that very night, sitting on the side of my chair in the room, after I got up and I went and got a drink of water, 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on a chair, I seen him come walking through the door. He said, tomorrow, Sunday, they're going to pick Miss Weber up and they're going to bring her down here. She'll be sitting on the right-hand side, far back in the tabernacle. Said, I heard her. Hallelujah. He said, oh, the angel of the Lord comes to Brother Branham. He says, I heard her, and tell her I heard her. What she said, and tell her, thus saith the Lord, that she'll live and not die. Because why? I heard her. It happened to be the angel of the Lord walked by right about then, and tell her I heard her, and she'll live. There you are. You can go down and see her if you want to. It's been about 7 years ago. His presence was there. When she was taking up for what was right. See, his presence were there. He found her. So he come and told me what she had said. What she had said to these women and said, oh, and he had respect to her because she had respect unto what was representing God. Oh, I heard her. Tell her I heard her. Tell her I've got a book of remembrance written and she's logged in there now. That when the unbeliever was coming by and slamming on what we believe, tell her I heard her. Tell her I heard what she said. And you tell her she's going to live because of her testimony. For this saying.
Yeah.
For this saying, Mrs. Weber.
That's right.
Let's stand to our feet. Go to the verse of this if you can. This is my desire. I hope you can pick this up. I don't know what key it's in. Oh, this is my desire to honor. Okay, let's go to the chorus. I'm not going to get that. Do you know, anybody know this? Help me out. Who knows it? Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. Alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. Alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take. Every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I can't help getting emotional. Because you know why I'm emotional? Not just to be emotional. I'm emotional because I know that in this age we're living in, for this saying, go and tell her I heard her. Tell her I heard her. I heard what she said. Oh God, let our testimony be true. Let our testimony be right. Let our testimony be as the Greek testimony. Oh Lord, that ain't nothing but the truth. It hurts, but that ain't nothing but the truth. Hear us, Lord. Hear the testimony from our hearts ringing out. That ain't nothing but the truth. The things of this world. Lord, let our testimony, those who have begun a new work coming out of that camp meeting up there, those young people that have began a new walk in Christ, let them have a testimony to follow up that deliverance. A testimony and it served out in a life lived, not in a volume of words, because it doesn't take many words. It took just a few that said, that ain't nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. And he said, you'll have your children. You know what he could have said? Tell her I heard that. Tell her I heard what she said. Tell her I heard when she was taken up for me. And she's not going to die. She's going to live. Because I heard that. For this saying, Lord, we give ourselves into your hands. Maybe we could sing, As the Deer Panteth for the Waters. Do y'all sing that? As the Deer? Sorry, I picked one a few minutes ago. You didn't know. Brother Paul, wherever you are sitting out here, learn that song. Then when I come again, I won't embarrass myself trying to teach it to people that don't know it. I'm a song leader by trade. Been leading singing since I was 16 years old. I appreciate seeing our brother Paul and our brother that came up today. He did such a good job of leading you in worship. There's nothing worse than visiting and picking out songs that nobody knows. You know this one, let's sing it. Is this your desire? Well, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Oh, sing it out. For you alone are my heart. Brother Jeff, you come. And I long to worship thee. Oh, let him hear it. For you. Strength, my shield, to you alone does my spirit yield, and you alone are blessed. To worship.
my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
All you alone are my strength and my shield. You alone does my spirit heal. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy.
Without any music at all now.
I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy.
That's it.
You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye.
Let it ring out now.
You alone are my strength and my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Yes, you alone are my strength and my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated for just a moment. Brother Jared, if you'd like to go back, maybe Rebecca, you can help him out some, and one of the deacon's wife perhaps. Go back and kind of give him some idea of what's going on there back behind the baptistry. Those of you that, the song that Tommy was going to try to teach us, how many of you do know it? Let me see. Stand up, will you? Just stand up. Oh, good. I want all of you to come up platform. Come on. We're all going to sing it. Tommy, get up. You got to help us too.
I know it.
You know it? Okay, well, good. All right, then we're kind of gonna learn it, Brother Tommy. You know it? Oh, praise God! I'm telling you what. I just kind of like to know what you don't know in the way of song. Man, oh man! Come on up, everybody. Let's do it. You know, Franco isn't here. I'm going to give you guys a challenge up there. How's that? All right, here we go. Give us some mics. Just kind of take them up slow. They won't ring on you that way. Just one second. Let's get everybody mic. This is going to be fun, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I like doing something different. Oh, you got one. That's right.
How many of you are still glad you came to church?
Right.
Just checking. Put it on Facebook. I'll look.
Hang on.
I'll have to borrow his account, but I'll look. No, I've got this one. Yeah, I'm good.
$9.93. Hey, Brother Peter. Praise the Lord. One second before you get started. How many of you don't know Brother Peter? Hermano Pedro. He's formerly from Mexico, now lives in Arizona, and he's just come to visit us. I've been online now since, how long? About a month ago. Just give us a little bit of your testimony for just a second. They're getting back there to get baptized. So.
Well, I'm so glad that the Lord in His grace has brought me here. I'm having a wonderful fellowship.
Praise God.
with the Spirit of the Lord. And I can see that the Spirit of the Lord is in all you.
Amen. Amen.
So I feel so welcome here. The Lord just fulfilled the desire of my heart. For years, I had the desire to have fellowship with you since the year 2006. And I had that longing for all those years, and the Lord just fulfilled the desire of my heart.
Hallelujah.
And I am so glad, because the Lord says in the Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and He will give you the desire of your heart. May God bless you, Lord.
Amen. Why don't you stand behind the two girls so they can share your mic, and kind of do it like quartet, so each one of you get close to that mic. That's right. Close to the mic. There you go. And that's right. You got the idea. Okay, very good. And go ahead. You guys take off for us, because I don't know it. Go ahead, Tommy. Help us out.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way.
Go to the verse now.
Oh, this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you, and all I have within me, I give you praise, and all that I adore is in you.
Amen.
Oh, sing it out.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
One more time.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
It's a wonderful choir, wasn't it?
You did a good
Praise
job.
God.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Thanks, Rebecca. His throat's out there somewhere to get him, but Dave, yeah, it's fine. This is vindication. It's proof that Jesus Christ is still on the throne of mercy.
Amen.
When hearts like our sister Chu, now Brother Jared, are one and are wooed by the power of the Holy Spirit in 2010. When backsliders, people who know what is true, Maybe I've resisted it. Or maybe in the past I've doubted it. Jesus marveled. And they're able to come back and 100% give their life back entirely to Jesus Christ. That is a modern day miracle. Amen. And I thank God for Jared's desire to give his life 100% over to Jesus Christ. He's had a real struggle with drugs in his life. And right now, his body is literally going on his sixth day through withdrawals of being drug-free for 6 days, solid. Everything in his body would like to call out to go back to get on those drugs so he could have peace in his mind and his flesh. Those demons are calling. But how many believe that the Holy Spirit can set him free from those withdrawals? How many here used to smoke and were set free instantly? Why don't you stand up? Those of you that were set free. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20. Praise God. 30 or so. How many, you may sit down, how many were on drugs and were set free? Look at that, Brother Jared. Just look out there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm one of them. Sister Rebecca's another one. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Pedro was another one. A lot of times when people come into a church like this, especially sinners, right out of the street, they see the long hair and the beautiful dresses. Let me just say something, sisters. You preached the first sermon before I ever hit that pulpit. You preached the most wonderful, precious sermon. Let that sermon be crystal clear. In your holy dress and your holy living. You young teenagers, when I was at camp, you always have... Listen, I understand. I'm a pastor. I'm also a daddy. You always have kids going through that delicate age when maybe a young girl is just a little stick when she was 11 or 12, but now she's got to figure. Now she's got to figure out mom and daddy got to help her how to dress. Everybody can say amen. And so you have to instruct them, mom and dad, and yet you don't unchristianize them. You don't get mad at them because they're not wearing everything perfect, but you got to constantly help them, encourage them. Because there's nothing more attractive than a godly girl dressed modestly. And I'm not trying to put pressure on you. I'm just trying to tell you, in reality, a young man that is serving God is attracted to a young girl whose eyes and face are clean and vibrant with the Holy Spirit. They're actually attracted, literally, something draws them, that young man that may be 16 or 17 or 18 or 19 or 20, 21, they're actually drawn towards that girl that they could tell is so committed that's not really on the fence. And you can tell, see, with a guy, it's kind of hard sometimes to tell when they're on the fence. But you can tell with the girl sometimes. And so what will happen is if God gets a hold of that inside and really the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in your life, then eventually the outside is going to line up with what's going on the inside. And you are God's, you are God's, Brother Brown preached it, God's billboard. And there's no man that can do that. And when that testimony is crisp and clear, and that speaks volumes. And so here's maybe a person that comes in from the world, and they see that maybe they see an older sister in a bun. And they see the white hair of that sister, and they say, that's wonderful. That's impressive. But when they see a teenager dressing modestly, now, that speaks a sermon I can never preach. And I remember the first sermon I got when I walked through the door of the tabernacle in Arizona. That was the first sermon I got. That doesn't mean that every girl that had long hair and a long dress was filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Praise God, they were honoring their mom and their daddy. Later on, maybe perhaps they would go on to receive the Holy Spirit. Nor does it mean that every person that doesn't quite have it together dress-wise hasn't already been baptized and the Holy Spirit's beginning to deal with them. So we're not judging them as to where they're at, but I'm just saying what a testimony it is. What a sermon it is. When you see the brothers, I remember when I went to the tabernacle and the brothers, this was the hippie movement, just outside of the hippie movement, after the 60s, early 70s. All the people in the world had long hair. The boys had long hair. And when he walked in, I saw all these guys, hundreds of men, young men, teenagers, and young men with short hair. And I thought, you know, there's the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I get, and actually in Tucson, it's David Montes. There's the David Montes Air Force Base. These guys all must be airmen. But no, they were defying the culture. And see, Brother Branham was, the angel of the Lord took his picture with the prophet. And I believe that not only did that it vindicate that prophet, but it endorsed even the way he was dressed. The clean appearance, the way he was dressed. It's so important that once God begins to deal with the inside, we also let him begin to deal with that outside as well. Let it go and be a complete and thorough work. So we're going to pray for Brother Jared that he has a body and a spirit and a soul transformation. Brother Branham said that if I could go down to the right mental attitude, down to the baptism of waters with the right mental attitude, I can receive the Holy Ghost right now. Brother Branham even made a statement, and it's a powerful statement. He says, Pentecost, where does this message put your tarry meetings? Now, he was referring to tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you something. I believe in tarrying, but the reason for tarrying is to get into a realm and an atmosphere of sanctification. That could be tarrying at home, tarrying at church. I believe in tarrying, but it's to get the person ready for the new birth. In the upper room, they had 10 days to get through the mechanics and the machinations of man. We're going to let Matthias be the next disciple. God never used him. Took them 10 days to get in the Spirit. The Bible says, finally, they were praying, worshiping, singing, and they were in one mind and one accord, then the Holy Ghost would come down. But that sanctification took 10 days of just laying in prayer. I believe that these young people, many of them that go to a camp, but they don't go on to receive the Holy Spirit, it's because they go home, they get on their DS, they get on their Facebook, they go back to the malls, they go back to their mediocre fellowship in church when they need to be laying quiet before God. And that's what I would urge Jared to do. That's why Jared came several days ago. He wanted to get away from Lafayette, Indiana, where the contacts were for drugs. I want to get away from that. He wanted to come here that no matter how hard it was on his body, he wouldn't be tempted to make a phone call. He was completely away from it. See, that's the way you have to do it. Get in an environment and then stay in that environment of the Holy Spirit till God fills you with the Holy Spirit. God, in this last day, what maybe came almost natural to a generation years ago, maybe naturally families just loved one another, stayed together, never divorced, but that's not true today. Maybe naturally a young man would know, well, man, I have to get new friends and I have to stay away from that old environment. Back then, the culture caused us even to understand that the culture was Christian. But today it's not. So we have to be instructed in the most basic, fundamental aspects of Christianity. We have to let the word and the preacher and the counselor speak to our mind and say, this is what you have to do. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for my brother Jared that as I baptize him in water, that you would fill him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You said in your word, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, your children, them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God, you have called Jared today. He sits in this baptismal pool, his tears drop into the waters. He wants nothing but the Holy Spirit. Nothing but the Holy, not another, but the Holy Spirit. I pray for him, God. I pray for him with all my heart, as I have prayed for him in the past. That God, you would meet him here in this water. God, that you would grant him the desires of his heart. God, that you would take his earnest desire and passion to do what is right. And Lord God, may it be manifest in his body, in his words, in his conversation and behavior. Oh Lord Jesus, may the old Jared be left at the bottom of this pool. And may a new Jared come forth. May all that is unlike you be buried at the bottom of this water, this watery grave. And may all that is like you in that seat of predestination, come and spring forth to life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when you've invested in somebody, you get a little possessive. How many have children? When you invest in them, time, love, energy, you get a little possessive. And you'll get in earnest for them. And you'll travail for them, won't you? You take somebody like Jared. I made a little investment in him. So I'm in earnest. Rebecca's made a huge, his mother's made a huge, his brother, different ones that love him, made huge investments. I want you to make investment in people. Amen. And if somebody doesn't show up to church and you've made an investment, you know what you're going to do? You're going to call, aren't you? You're going to find out. But if you didn't know them, never made an investment, well, maybe they went to another church. That's a good Laodicean way to think. What about a phone call? What about a letter? Maybe they were just waiting for somebody to care. How many can say amen? Lord Jesus, because my brother Jared desires to identify with you in your death, the terrible and awesome price you paid on the cross, and your burial and your resurrection, Lord, because he is ready to identify with you, I now baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this young man who wants to lay everything at your feet. And I pray, Almighty God, that you would fill this young man with the Holy Spirit. And that God, from this day forward, you would give him wisdom, unction. You give him spiritual counsel, guidance, Lord God, as to what to do. That God, he would guide his son to serve you and love you. And Lord, that this child be raised in the fear of God, in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, in church. And God, that you'd make him a new man with new friends. And God, that he would be identified with the saints and not with this dying world that is passing away. Thank you, Father God. As I lay hands on him, I pray that you would fill my brother with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that he would now nurture this experience. I pray that he would feed this, Lord God, this commitment, that he would feed it. God, that he would stay in the word and prayer. Lord, no matter how awkward it is to the mind or the body, that he'd stay in a godly atmosphere until it becomes a part of him, until it becomes him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Is there anybody else that wants to be baptized? We've got robes back there. If anybody wants to, you can stand up, come right back. We'll baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, sometime or another, we need to get together because that's your next step. That's your next step. Brother Branham made a statement, and it's true. God's not under obligation to show you much more of himself till you fulfill the first commission, the first characteristic that God desires, and that's water baptism. Once you've repented, then be baptized. And then once you've been baptized properly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God promises to reveal even more to you. That's the scripture. That's the way God operates. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Dismiss you in the name of the Lord. Let's come back at 3. Let's go 3:15. We'll go 3:15 for communion. I'm doing it a little bit early because I'm also aware that it's Independence Day and some of you want to be able to enjoy the fireworks tonight, and I want to honor that, appreciate that. I appreciate your desire. I appreciate everybody showing up for church. Praise God. And I know that some are with family. I can see there's a few missing that are with family here, there, and yonder, and that's totally understandable. Praise the Lord. You love his word? Amen. Amen. How many appreciated the word this morning? Amen. Amen. Brother Tommy, go ahead and dismiss him with the song. We'll see you back here at 3:15 for communion.
I bless your name. See.
Praise God. I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. The truth, the way. bless your name. I bless your name. Sing it out to him. Amen. Oh, I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Oh, I give you the water. Give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name, oh, I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, some midnight hour. If should find you're in a prison, in your mind, reach out and praise. Defy those chains and they will fall. Yes, they in Jesus' name. Oh, I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Give you praise. You are the light. Redeemer and friend, you are the one that calls to the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of man. Oh, you are the one that we praise. You are the one we hearts always come to oh, our hearts always come to oh, Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope in our hearts and hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost away. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give us healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty infinite Father.